I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 65. Psalm 65, please. And I want to read the entire psalm to you. It's 13 verses, but it makes a point, and I want to amplify that point to you this morning. This being Thanksgiving, I want to speak to you on the subject of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God. And you follow carefully as I read this psalm to you and see the heart of David, see what David is saying here. I think the key word here is found in the very first word of the psalm, where David says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." And that's what he's doing in this psalm. He's praising the Lord for all of his many blessings and the things that he does for us that we often take for granted. And so you follow along now. Let's read, we'll pick it up in verse 2, verse 2, and you follow along as I read the rest of the psalm. "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, who stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of their people, of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enricheth it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the spring springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." In this psalm, David is basically praising the Lord for keeping everything going, for providing for us all that we need in order to exist. And it's almost like David is talking about the things that we take for granted, the little things that God does in order to keep the universe in order, in order to water the earth so that it brings forth food, so that you and I don't starve to death. The verse 8, he talks about the last part, "Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice." In other words, he's simply talking about how that God is the one responsible for the day, and the day becoming the night, and then the night becoming the day. Everything, I don't know how much you've sat around and thought about this, but everything has order to it. And God's the one that put that order into operation. And David just sits and he thinks about all that God does, and he says, "You know, Lord, I want you to know I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful for all your many blessings." And on this Thanksgiving weekend, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the giving of thanks. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless, and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings to us. And Father, as we take a little time this morning and look at the matter of being thankful, I just pray that you will be with us, and Lord, give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And may, Lord, we search our hearts and realize, Lord, your many blessings and be thankful to you and give you the praise that you deserve as a result of your abundance that you pour out upon us. And so, Lord, help us to be a thankful people here this morning. And Lord, I pray you'll speak to our hearts and Lord, draw us to yourself. May we leave here rejoicing because of what we've allowed the Spirit of God to do. We'll thank you, we'll praise you for all your blessings upon us this morning in Christ's name and amen. Before us this morning is a wonderful psalm of David. It's a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving to God for all of his bountiful blessings to his people. And as you read this psalm, it becomes clear that David realized just how good the Lord is to all of us. David realized God's goodness to him, and he praised God and thanked him for the multitude, the myriad of things that all of us seem to take for granted. As I already pointed out, the fact that night follows the day. He talks about thanking God for the rain and for the snow and for the crops that come out of the ground from which we get our food. And he thanks God for the changing of the seasons. He thanks God for the trees and the grasses of the fields and the animals that graze in the fields. David thanks God for the valleys and for the fact that the corn, that the valleys are covered with corn. And he realized that all of that was because of God's goodness to mankind. And he wanted to praise God and thank God for that. As I was driving in this morning, I saw all of the fields out Bachman Valley where we live. And I saw all the fields and realized that just a few months ago, all those fields were covered in corn. And I thought, well, I'm knowing what I was going to preach on this morning, I'll never look at those fields in the same light again. You drive by, go just about anywhere in Carroll County, and you will find fields where the corn is growing in abundance. And we thank the Lord for all that He does. Those fields will forever be a reminder to me of this verse. Now it's Thanksgiving season. And one of the reasons for Thanksgiving is to waken us to the things that we take for granted. Thank God there's a day that is set aside where it is called to our attention all the wonderful things that God does. And I think we're always in peril of taking things for granted, especially in this blessed society in which we live today. I was thinking about how the Lord Jesus gave that model prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. And in that model prayer, he said that we should pray for daily bread. Well, you know, in this blessed society in which we live today, we don't ever pray for daily bread. We don't stop and think about that. If we need a loaf of bread, we just run to the store and get one. If we need water, we just go over to the spigot, turn the spigot on. We can get cold water out of there, or we can flip the handle the other direction and get hot water, or we can move it anywhere in between and get whatever temperature we want. And what a blessed society we live in today. But the question is, do we stop and do we consider how blessed we are? We now come to the end of October, and we set aside a day at the end of October every year, and we call that day Thanksgiving. And we are awakened to just how blessed we are. We are shaken for at least a few minutes out of the year from all that we take for granted to realize that God has done far exceeding abundantly above all that we could think or ask for each one of us today. One of the wonderful things about the Lord Jesus is that he never took usual things for granted. You know, the Pharisees were notorious for that. They were always doing that, but the Lord Jesus never did that. It's amazing. You go back and look through the Gospels. He was teaching in that Sermon on the Mount, and I've been on the Mount of the Beatitudes many times, and it's just a beautiful setting and flowers growing everywhere. And I can imagine as I read that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Jesus talking about the lilies of the field and how God clothed those lilies of the field, how God they take no thought about how they grow or how they spin as the flower blooms and blossoms out of the stem. They take no thought of it, but God does, and God cares about them. And the Lord Jesus pointed out and declared that even the lilies of the field declare the beauty of God's creation and prove the Father's love. It was not just the glory of the rare thing that caught his eye. It was the glory of the familiar thing that caught his eye. And he was thankful for all the little things. The blossoms on the trees. The sparrow as it flew through the air. A little mustard seed that was so tiny, if you held one seed in your hand, you had to look for it in your hand. The beggar on the street. The crippled man walking down the sidewalk. I mean, all of those things he took notice of. He was thankful for everything that came along. And folks, that should thrill our individual souls, as it should cause us to realize that the Lord never takes anything for granted, and that means that he never takes you and me for granted. Now, other people might take you for granted, but the Lord will never do such a thing. You might be here this morning, and maybe you decided to get up and come to church this morning, and here you are now and in the church, and you say, well, I'm just a little nobody, nobody struggling to do the best I can, and nobody here knows me, and nobody thinks that I'm anything special. Well, dear friend, be assured the Lord thinks you're special. I mean, God knows you're here, and God sees you, that you're here, and God doesn't take you for granted. He'll speak to your heart just as easily as he'll speak to the most brilliant person in this room's heart. I mean, God loves you. And so we need to be thankful people for all the things that God does for us. And one of the greatest things that we can be thankful for is the fact that God loves us. And even though he knows us, he still loves us and loves us like no one else. Now, Thanksgiving. I want us to think about this psalm this morning, and I want to speak to you for a little while on the subject of Thanksgiving. What comes to mind when you think of the giving of thanks? What thoughts should this annual holiday put into the heart of every one of us? Well, there's a couple of things that I want us to consider this morning. This is an amazing psalm. And I guess the whole gist of this psalm is the fact that David realizes that all of our blessings come from the Lord. All of our blessings. But there are three things that came to my mind as I was thinking on the subject of the giving of thanks. And I want to share them with you. I want you to listen, because they each build upon each other and get us to the heart and the center of this tremendous psalm that David has included in the Bible for us. The first thing I want to point out is, as we think about Thanksgiving, it should impress on us our mutual dependence on one another. It should impress on us our mutual dependence upon one another. I don't know how much you've thought about this, but folks, we need one another. We really do. So the poet has written, "No man is an island." We need one another, and certainly we do. I mean, the truth is, we're all bound up with one another. On a grand scale, we depend upon one another for so much. Let me give you an example. A farmer grows grain, and then someone else has to take that grain and grind it. Then someone else has to take that bread or that grain and make bread with it. And then someone else has to transport that bread to the store. And then the guy in the store has to sell it to us. And so we're dependent upon one another, whether we realize it or not. Thank the Lord, there used to be a time when we had to do the whole process ourselves, or we didn't eat. And so we've learned to be dependent upon one another. And this is one reason why I think that men have gravitated to cities. I really do. I mean, it became easier for man to live when we could depend upon one another. Somewhere, somehow, along the way, man has learned the lessons of cooperation. Now, we've learned that one needs everybody, and everybody needs the one. But the psalmist here calls to our attention that as true as that fact is, as real as that fact is, that we are dependent upon one another, the point that the psalmist is making here is an effort to focus our attention upon the fact that above everything else, we need to depend upon our God for our existence. I mean, the main thing is that we depend upon the Lord. You know, we take so much for granted. Our generation has never experienced food shortages. I've never been through that. I don't think any of you have. I don't know. There might be somebody here that can remember days. You may have been poor when you were growing up, but nonetheless, you always had something. God always managed to take care of you through the situation. And folks, we need to understand that God is the one who is accountable and responsible, and it's God that provides for us, and we should not take for granted the things that the Lord gives us. Oh, we might see the price of lettuce go up for a month or so if there's a drought condition in California, or we might see orange juice go up a little bit during the freeze down in Florida in January. But the simple truth of the matter is God has so blessed us and provided for us and has given us on this earth everything we need so that we can use our minds and use our technology and mass produce food so that we have plenty. And we need to realize that all of that is due to the blessing and the goodness of God upon mankind. Folks, you ought to be thankful that you live in the generation in which you live. And I hope that all of us will realize that God's hand is upon us, and the reason that we are so full is because the valleys are covered over with corn, just like the psalmist said in that 13th verse. Our valleys are covered over with corn. How thankful we ought to be for God's blessing. Many years ago, Karen and I were down in Dixie, West Virginia, I went down to South America to preach for 2 weeks to a native Guyana pastor down in South America, and we invited him to come back to the States and speak in our as I invited him to come speak in our church, and told him if he would come, I'd find him several other churches to preach in. So next thing I know, he said, "I'm coming." And he'd never been to America before, never been to the States, and he was so excited to come. And I would try to tell him about America and all the things that we had and you know, the blessings of God upon our nation. And he was just amazed. He said, he'd just sit and listen as you talked about the United States. And so when he got there, Karen had me go to the store, and so I took him to the store with me. He had never been to a grocery store. They usually just have a guy pushing a cart, and he has bread on the cart, and he rings a bell, and you come out and buy bread if you need it. Or you got a cart, and they have fish on it, and you come out and buy a fish or a cart, and they guys rings a bell, and you come out and buy a chicken. And then we'll forget. We came in one day. I went running up the steps, and there was a chicken that had been tied at the top of the steps, a live chicken. And it was sitting there. When I ran up the steps, it started to flutter. I startled it, and I jumped, and I said, "Whoa!" Like that, you know, scared me to death. And she said, "Don't step on dinner." I said, "Oh, okay, by all means, I won't." But anyway, he came to the store, came with me to the store, and we walked in. His eyes were as big as saucers when we walked in that Kroger store. I mean, he was just amazed at the size and at all the stuff that was out. And we walked around. I was gathering stuff, putting it in the grocery cart. And then I turned around. He was gone. And I thought, well, my goodness, where'd he go? So I went looking for him. I didn't know what had happened. I went looking for him and found him in the dog food aisle. And he's standing in the dog food aisle with tears streaming down his cheeks. And I said, Hassam, what are you doing? He said, look at this. And he just took his hand and went all the way up the road. He said, your dogs eat better than our people. My goodness, look at this. He said, your dogs eat better than our people. And I said, well, God certainly has been good to us here in America. And he smiled and said, yes, and to your dogs as well. And I thought, boy, how true that is. You know, God has been good. Yes, we mutually depend on one another for all we have. But folks, understand this. Ultimately, all that we have is God's blessings upon us. I mean, understand that point. The psalmist said in that 13th verse, the valleys also are covered over with corn. Folks, thank God every day for God's blessings upon you and your family. Second thing I want you to think about this morning, as we think about the matter of the giving of thanks and realize that all that we have is by the blessing and goodness of God. Secondly, this understanding this blessing should make us thankful people. Folks, I don't know if we realize just what we have. Thank God for a day called Thanksgiving where we can reflect on that. But you know, we even get so busy during Thanksgiving, I'm not sure that we give it the thought that we ought to give it. But just realize what we have. I mean, I'm not sure that we do. Even with all the liberalism and all the wickedness, the United States of America is still the greatest country on the face of this earth. It is still the greatest country. I mean, if you've ever been outside of America, you realize what we have here and that freedom is the greatest gift that God has ever given to man. Besides, his son. But that gives you freedom from sin. But thank God for freedom to worship and freedom to go from state to state and to get on an airplane and fly. Thank God for the freedoms that we have in this country. But let me talk to you for a moment here about something that I think we need to be more thankful for. I think we need to be more thankful for God's blessings upon us as a church. Now, I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning about this. You know, I want you to understand something, folks. The blessings of God that happen upon this church are just that. They are the blessings of God. And I want you to see that this morning. I want you to understand something, folks. You have a sinner for a pastor. Now, don't get over excited right there. You have a sinner for a pastor. I want you to understand that you have sinners as assistant pastors. I want you to understand that you had a bunch of sinners saved by grace, but you had a bunch of sinners up here singing a while ago in the choir. I want you to understand, those of you that were in Sunday school this morning, that an old sinner saved by grace taught your Sunday school class. I want you to understand that all the men that serve on the deacon board in this church are sinners saved by grace. All the people that sing the special music in here are sinners saved by grace. And I want you also to understand that if it were not for the abundance and blessings of God upon us, we would have nothing but a complete mess upon our hands. Do you not understand that, Christian? I'm telling you, folks, God His grace has shined upon us, and that is the only thing that keeps us afloat. I believe that the Lord God of heaven looks down upon this place and sees a bunch of old sinners saved by grace trying and doing the work that He has commissioned us to do. And I think God looks down upon us and says, you know, even though they're just old sinners, they're at least trying. I think God looks down upon us and He sees the soul winning efforts that go on in this church and says, yes, That's a bunch of old sinners, but look at them. They're trying to win people to Jesus. They still run the buses, even though the state of Maryland has done everything they can to stop them with all their ridiculous taxes and all their fees and all their inspections and all their rules and all their regulations, but they just keep on running those buses, so I think I'm going to bless them. I think God looks down and He sees us training soul winners on Wednesday nights. He sees us going out on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday and knocking on doors and trying to tell people how to get to heaven. And God says, you know, I believe that I'm just going to bless them. I think God looks down and He sees our church services, and I think that the Lord looks at us and says, you know, they still give invitations for folks to come forward and get saved. Even though they're big name preachers all around the country, their how-to preachers are holding conferences telling them that invitations are outdated and they make people uncomfortable and you shouldn't do them anymore and you ought to contemporize your church and bring it into the 21st century and, you know, don't preach the Bible, don't preach on sin, but, you know, they just keep on giving invitations and they just keep on preaching the Bible, so I think I'm going to bless them a little bit. In spite of the fact that we're just all a bunch of old sinners saved by grace. And folks, let me tell you, if it were not for the blessings of God upon this place, you and I would not have what we have in the Church of the Open Door. We would not have the fellowship. We would not have the music. We would not have the blessing. We would not have the learning. We would not have the programs. We would not have what we have if God did not protect us and watch out for us. Because you got an old sinner saved by grace at the helm. You got an old sinner making the decisions. And boy, thank God for His intervention and His blessings. We aren't perfect. We're just sinners saved by grace. But we are trying. We are trying. And I want to serve notice on you folks. We aren't going to give up doing what the Lord wants us to do. And I just plan to keep on preaching and giving invitations and pointing out sin and rebuking the devil and doing what I can to make a difference in your family. I'm not changing what I've been doing. So just let come what may. We're going to keep on doing it until Jesus comes and takes us home, or we can't do it anymore. We're just going to keep doing it. And folks, I just think you ought to be thankful to God for your church. Now, that's just the way I feel. Don't take it for granted. I wish some of you could read some of the emails I get from folks that move away, and then they try to find a church in their new town or their new city. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. Pastor, we just can't find an open door. No, you can't. Not another church in America like this church. We just can't find a church like the Church of the Open Door. Folks, I'm saying don't take the church for granted. We ought to pray for the church instead of criticizing everything we don't like about the church. I beg you not to take your church for granted. I got an email recently from a man that in the church where I used to pastor in Illinois. I mean, just the church prior to my coming here. And when I left out there to come here, that church was healthy and strong. It was growing. People were getting saved. I struggled with whether or not to come here because that church was in such good condition and God was blessing it. And I really struggled. Of course, after prayer and consideration, I knew I was supposed to come here. But I did not want to leave. And when I stood and resigned as pastor of the church out there to come here, I stood with tears streaming down my cheeks. I told him up front, I'm going to Westminster, Maryland. And I'll be honest with you, I'm candidating for the church out there. And I said, I don't want to leave. But I've got to do what the Lord's leading me to do, and I just want you to pray. And boy, they prayed I wouldn't come. But all of a sudden, God started giving them peace about it. He gave them peace when He gave me peace. And the last service we were there, we stood, the place was filled to the brim, and we stood and shared testimonies and thanked God and prayed together and wept together. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, to leave that bunch of Yankees and come out here. I didn't know you could love Yankees, but you can. You can. And boy, I tell you, we had a great relationship. Well, I got an email recently from one of the men, and he said that I just wanted to thank you once again for all you did for me and my family. He said, Pastor, the church is not like it used to be. He said, we've now gone the contemporary route. He said, we've canceled the Sunday night service. I can't imagine them not having a Sunday night service. I can't imagine the board going along with that, to be honest with you. I just can't imagine it. Something went wrong somewhere. But they no longer have a Sunday night service. And he said, we sit and long for the days when the right music was sung. We sit and long for the days when the Word of God was preached every time we came, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He said, we long for the day when the invitation was extended for sinners to come and receive Christ as their Savior. He said, we long for the day when the Word was preached in power and without apology, and when we could come to church and we knew before we ever even got there that we were going to hear a message from the Bible. Well, folks, right now, today, now you listen to me. I'm going to try and help you here. Right now, today, what we enjoy here is from the Lord. And we all ought to be thankful. I mean every one of us. Today is my 12-year anniversary. 12 years ago today, I stepped behind this pulpit for the first time. Wasn't this pulpit, it was a different one. But I stepped behind this pulpit for the first time. 12 years ago today. And I tell you something, folks, in 12 years, it's a miracle that we're still doing what we were doing. That's the hand of God upon this place. Don't take that for granted. Now, I want you to understand, listen, I'm not planning on leaving. I have no plans to leave. But if that day ever comes and you hire some knucklehead to come in here and pastor this church who doesn't have the same convictions on the Bible, who doesn't have the same convictions on soul winning, who doesn't have the same convictions on music, who doesn't have the same convictions on separation. You say, Pastor, if you ever leave, we'll never find anybody like that. Oh, yes, you will. There's still people that stand upon the Word of God. There's still people that believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I'm not planning on leaving, folks, but if the day ever comes and you hire somebody that doesn't hold to the same convictions and the same standards and the same Bible and the same music that you have adhered to and stood behind for 40 years, you just mark it down. There will come a day when you will look back upon this day, this service, and you will long for the good old days of the church, the open door. Now, you mark it down. I wish I could tell you, had time to tell you of the dozens of places that I know of around the country where the old guy left and the new guy came in and they changed the program and changed the philosophy. And when that happens, the backbone people of the church, those are the ones that built it. Those are the ones that sacrificed. Those are the ones that knocked on the doors. Those are the ones that gave of their money. The backbone people leave. And the ones that drove them out with their numbers and their compromise sit and watch as the work crumbles around their feet. And many of you know that to be true because you were driven out of your church and you started coming here. That old contemporary stuff moved into your church and you sat there and wondered how that has anything to do with worshiping God. You felt like you were back in a bar. You remember your old BC days before Christ when you used to go hang out down at the pub. And that was the kind of music you heard in the pub. And now here you were hearing it at church. Amen. Here, talk into this. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen. My goodness. Let's be thankful to God for what we have. Then there's a third thing. And that's one building upon the other. There's a third thing. Thanksgiving should impress on us our utter dependence upon the Lord. Folks, we wouldn't have what we have if it was not for God. America would not still be America if it were not for God. If God takes His hand off of it, you're right, it won't be. We better pray God doesn't take His hand off our country. You see, folks, no matter how much we grow dependent on others, ultimately our dependence is upon God. No matter how you slice it, man is still viewed in Scripture as the sons of God, the children of God. And just as a child is dependent upon its father, we must not lose our dependence upon the Lord. And Thanksgiving Day reminds us of our dependence upon the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not trying to be glum here, but the simple truth of the matter is you could lose your job tomorrow. You could lose your job tomorrow and thus lose that beautiful house you live in and lose your car and who knows what else that we all take for granted every day. You could lose your health tomorrow, and then what good would those three cars in the driveway do you? God's good to us, folks. God's good to us. And it's good that we take a day and set it aside to think about these things. But it's a shame that we only think of these things once a year. I never will forget years ago, just after I was saved. I mean, just after I was saved. We had a youth choir in our church. And there were about 40 kids in this youth choir. And when I got saved, they said, "We want you to join the youth choir." And I said, "Oh, okay. I'd like that." And so they said, "Well, you have to get a haircut first." So had to go get a haircut. And then they said, "You have to get a shirt that buttons up the front." I didn't know shirts buttoned up the front. I just thought you wore T-shirts, you know. And day I got saved, I had on a pair of old bell-bottom blue jeans. You remember those? Yeah, I had the American flag sewed on the back in the form of a peace symbol, you know. I had on a T-shirt that had some double-meaning logo on the front of it, you know, that I bought down Myrtle Beach and walked down, you know, "God saves old sinners." Amen. And so the choir director said, "You got to get a shirt that buttons up." I said, "Oh." Said, "You got to get a tie." I said, "Well, wouldn't do me any good to get one. I don't know how to tie it." But my dad did, so my dad stood behind me and he tied it, and then he would pull it out and I'd take it over my head. When I went to Bible college, I had 5 ties my dad tied for me. I'd pull them out and take them over and hang them on a hanger, and then I'd just put them back on. My roommate one morning decided he was going to get me. He pulled all the knots loose on me. Man, you should have seen, I had it tied. I had it tied. It came to here. I thought you tied it like a knot. Didn't know anything about it. But we went to church to sing down in Eleanor, West Virginia. We went to this church, and the choir director said, "Folks," he said, "kids, you're not going to believe this man's preaching. You're not going to believe his story." And she started to tell us about it. She didn't even know all the story. But this man was in a car accident with his family, and everyone in his family was killed in that car wreck except for him. And he had both of his hips crushed, and they had rods in his bones, and he was in a coma for a week, and just a terrible, terrible story. And she said, "If I'm not mistaken, this is one of the first times that he's been out since all this happened." Well, when the pastor got up to introduce this man, he told a little bit more of the story. And we were all just sitting there in amazement at what this man had been through. And after he got home and went through all the therapy and learned to walk again walked with a walker. Yes, yeah, stay with me, Doug. Walked with a walker, and then got to where he had crutches, and he was on the crutches when he was preaching. Carried his crutches up and leaned them against the pulpit and to preach. But we also found out that right after he got where he could move around a little bit, his house caught on fire, and burnt to the ground, lost everything he had. And so the pastor said, "Sir, we are so glad to have you with us." Called him up to the pulpit. The man walked over and he put his crutches down. We were all sitting there. Everybody was just in stunned amazement. And he leaned into the pulpit like this and he said, "Let's pray." And boy, everybody bowed their head. And I was sitting right down here on the second row. Everybody bowed their head. The man just stood there. It was only about 15 seconds, but it seemed like 5 hours. Total silence. He never said a word. Then all of a sudden he went, and he said, "Dear Heavenly Father." And then it was about another 15 seconds. Total silence. You could hear him sniffling. And I looked up and I looked right into his face. You could see the tears just streaming off of his cheeks and dropping onto his Bible as he's leaning into the pulpit. And so he got to the pulpit. He said, "Let's pray." 15 seconds of silence seemed like an eternity. Then he said, "Dear Heavenly Father." 15 seconds of silence seemed like an eternity. And after that 15 seconds of silence, he just simply said, "Thank you." Then another 15 seconds of silence. And by that time, everybody in that building was bawling. And he said, "In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Wow. That taught me something that day, folks. You know, here we are. We come in our $30,000 car. We come in set in padded pews. We come in here and set with $100,000 worth of sound equipment. We come in here and set with a heating and air conditioning unit. I mean, God has given us and blessed us. We had a table full on Thursday. And what happened? What do? We come and we get upset because somebody doesn't speak to us. We get mad because somebody sang and we didn't get to sing. We get upset because the usher didn't hand us a bulletin when we walked in. Folks, listen, you don't realize how blessed you are. Thank God every day for God's abundance. Thank God there's corn in the valley. Thank God for it. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. God has been so good. God has been so good. In Him we move and live and have our being. And the truth is, folks, we ought to be impressed every day to stop and realize that we're utterly dependent upon the Lord for everything in our lives. And God just keeps on blessing. I saw on the news yesterday, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before, that night, they said Black Friday was the biggest day. Biggest shopping day. He said, "Man, broke all records. Black Friday broke all records. They sold more gadgets and gizmos Friday than they sold all year long." Man, everybody was just thrilled to death. My wife got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go shopping. 3 o'clock in the morning. It was dark when she left. It was dark when she came home. Would somebody explain that to me? Had a trunk load full of stuff. We'll be receiving a love offering tonight. Pastor's Christmas fund. Unreal. Ate breakfast out, ate lunch out, ate dinner out. Do you ever think you'd live to see the day when you'd get up before the sun come up just so you could go and shop? I don't see that happening. But that's our country. Why are we able to do that? I'll tell you why we're able to do that. Because we got a God in heaven that is blessing our country. We've got a God in heaven who is blessing our lives. There's corn. The valleys are covered with corn. Folks, let's just not take one day and be thankful. I mean, every one of us needs to stop here this morning and thank God from the depths of our souls for all the Lord has done for us. He's been so good. He's been so good to us. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Listen, if you are, you're on your way to an eternal heaven. Amen. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, well, but Pastor, listen, don't butt. Goats butt. Sheep follow. Man, just follow the Word. Follow the Lord. And realize that you got a God in heaven. And He's been good to you. And as good as He has been, it's not near as good as He's going to be when you get to heaven. Be thankful for what you've got. Boy, the psalmist here, he just started thinking about that. Oh, David, look at your Bible and I'll quit. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. He said, or verse 5, I'm sorry. He talks about He's a God of our salvation. You see, God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. God provided salvation. Look at verse 6. He said, which by His strength set us fast the mountains. God created the heavens and the earth. God put those mountains out there for you. We take those for granted. Look at verse 7. He said, which stilleth the noise of the seas. God put those seas out there. Man, those seas, you ought to be thankful for the oceans. You ought to be thankful, man. That's where your oxygen comes from. That's where life, the abundance of life comes out of that ocean. I mean, look at verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. And old David sat down and, you know, he just started thinking. He thought, wait a minute. God, if it wasn't for You, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. And Lord, I'm thankful. And folks, I just hope that that's the prayer on every heart in this room this morning. That you just won't think about it once a year, but you'll think about it all the time. And just be thankful that you have a God that loves you like He does, who has provided everything you need, not just for life here, but for life for eternity. That's the God that we serve. May God help us to be thankful people. Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around. Our Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. Bless what's been said. Stir our hearts with what we've heard. Lord, open our understanding to realize Your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And no one looking around for just a moment. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. And if I died right now, my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've called upon Him. And I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, preacher. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your Savior? You say, Pastor, I know in whom I have believed. I know. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, if you could not raise your hand, dear friend, listen, God loves you this morning. Oh, my, He loves you with an ever-dying love. So much does He love you, He sent His only Son to give His life on the cross for you. How many here will say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And if I died right now, I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. But I'm concerned about my soul, preacher. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Ask God to help you. I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. And I want you to remember me in prayer. Anybody like that this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up. I'll pray for you, I promise. Anybody? All right, how many will say, Pastor, I am saved. And God's dealing with my heart this morning. And I realize all that God has done. And it makes me want to love Him more. It makes me realize that I need to do more. And Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. Pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you all over this building. Yes, God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. All right, good. Now, Father, You know our needs this morning. Meet those needs and bless. Father, help us this morning to understand that we need to be surrendered and dedicated. And Lord, we need to yield ourselves and let You bless and use us for Your glory. Lord, You've been so good for us and to us. And Lord, You sent Your Son to die for us. Surely we can live for You. So Lord, give us that burdened heart that we want to live for Jesus, want to serve and do all we can to show our appreciation for what You've done. Lord, thank You for the corn, the abundance of corn that's in the valley. Lord, thank You for the way You've provided and met all of our needs. And Lord, the way You provide and take care of us, we just are so thankful for Your blessing. And Lord, thank You for our church. We're not a perfect church, But Lord, there is a moving of the Spirit of God in this place. There is a yieldedness about these people that Lord want Your hand and want Your blessing, and they're willing to do Lord Your will. So we thank You for the way You've kept Your hand upon this place and the way You've blessed this people. Lord, continue to bless, and we'll give You praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.